Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us the same time each week, and we do count it our privilege in order to have you follow along in our Bible studies, and it's a privilege to have you do that. Again, we'd like to take a second and thank those who have taken time to write and express their appreciation for the broadcast, and also that they've been stimulated to study the Bible for themselves, and that makes us extremely happy and makes it all worthwhile. We want you to study the Word of God and know what God has and allow Him to speak to your heart so that, first of all, you can know you're going to heaven when you die, and the second is God can bless you for your faithfulness to Him. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But now as we continue now, and we just want to bring one more message on the sign of the times, because in Revelation chapter 4, when John was caught up, that pictures the church being raptured out before God's judgments upon this ungodly earth for all of their ungodly speeches, all of their hard sayings, removing God from this earth, if they possibly can do it, through the auspices of Satan. And they do that. And God, they'll say, you know, is God silent? He doesn't see what we're doing. Well, you're going to find out as we continue in the book of Revelation, God is not silent. And this is just a calm before the storm when God will take vengeance. So to begin with, if you have your Bibles, let's go over to Ezekiel, one of the signs, and we're not spending a lot of time on each one of these, but one of the signs is the return of the nation of Israel back to the land, and prophesied some 600 to 700 years before Christ was ever born. And we'll go over to Ezekiel chapter 36 in verse 24 and 25. In verse 24, the Lord had prophesied through the prophet Ezekiel, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I'll bring you into your own land." Chapter 37, and let's begin here in verse 10. In verse 10 it says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me," that's Ezekiel, "and breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Here in chapter 37 we have the vision of the dry bones, and Ezekiel looked out and seen all of these, and they were symbolic of the nation of Israel that had been scattered throughout all of the world. And yet, notice in verse 11 what he says. And he says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts." But then in verse 12, "Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, out of my people I will open your graves, and I'll cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." And in May the 14th, 1948, you begin to find out that the United Nations declared Israel a sovereign state, and you've seen that in your lifetime here, May the 14th, 1948. When we look here at verse 8, I'd like for you to notice. In verse 8 it says, "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them," that's Israel, "and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." So we find out from this, the many parts are now one, bound together as a single entity, a living, unified organism, proof of the fusing of the Jewish colonists and the Zionist workers of all kinds into a recognized unit among the family of nations. In short, as we've said, the creation of the State of Israel, May the 14th, 1948, therefore we have their return, their rehabilitation, and their statehood. Now, that's significant. Now let's go on. One of the major signs. Now let's go on here to Isaiah chapter 3 here in verse 12. Now we're just going to hit on a few of these here. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us here concerning what's going to take place here as signs of the times. It was the same signs before Israel's judgment as we have the signs before God throws his judgment out upon the world. Notice in Isaiah chapter 3 in verse 12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." Very interesting. Hold your place there. We're in a day and age when we have the women's liberation. We have a day and age when it's unheard of. And you say, well, how is this being fulfilled in prophecy? Well, let me ask you something. Did you ever hear of a man and a woman getting married and the woman not taking the man's name? Oh, yes, you have in the past few years, but you haven't heard of that prior to that. No, they would live together and not be married, but no, that was the laws of the land, let alone a preacher doing that. This is how that you're being led today by these liberal preachers. They do it. And the preacher and his wife. And they're supposed to be the example of God's Word. Well, when you practice those sort of things, these are the signs of the times. And when we say liberal as compared to fundamental, fundamental Bible-believing churches believe the Bible. They practice the Bible. And they teach the Bible. Your liberals have a form of godliness, and they'll preach a little of the Bible, but nothing is going to contradict what their Senate, what their councils have done, just in order to appease the people. This is the time. These are the signs of the times. So with that in mind, let's go over here, and I think Proverbs describes this in chapter 30. So let's go over here to Proverbs chapter 30. Wait a minute while you turn in your Bibles there. Proverbs chapter 30, and notice in verse 11 and 12. There is a generation that curseth their father and doeth not bless their mother. And there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Yes, it seems like even in the church, sin can be practiced, adultery can be practiced, all of the heartache that associated with it. And yet, what does the church do? Nothing. Nothing at all. And yet, we begin to see all these things. What are they? Signs of the times. Just signs of the times. It would have been years ago, if you're in a good Bible-teaching church and you have a person in your church, whether it be a woman or a man, and knowingly, outwardly committing adultery, and both parties are married, still married, then what would you do? They would be called before the deacon board, and they would be given the ultimatum. Look, get your act together. You're hurting a lot of people. It's a total disgrace to yourself. It's a total disgrace to your children, a total disgrace to your church, and a total disgrace to humanity, but more so unto God himself. And if you're going to go to church and claim to be a Christian, then you get your act together. Don't misrepresent us as a church. This isn't what we teach. And that would help the family. That would help the people to realize there is an ultimatum, that God does not approve this, and you're not going to use our church to play your hypocritical ungodly, unholy, adulterous situation and then peddle that into the church along with your reputation. No, you're not going to do that. If you want to do that, find another church and go on. But you have your liberal churches that accept that today. Yes, they're not going to take a stand on that. Why? It's the signs of the times. It's the signs of the times. Notice again in verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. And how true that really is. So let's go on to another. Let's get another thing, signs of the times here. Let's talk about the psychic and the demonic spirits, because we're in an age here when you're getting plastered all over the televisions about this psychic and that psychic and this one's better than that one and so forth. A sign of the times. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go back here to the book of Deuteronomy and notice here in verse 18, 10, and 11. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 and 11, the Word of God says this, "There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch." And then it goes on in verse 11, "or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." That's one who contacts the dead. A wizard is one who claims supernatural powers, but not that of God, you see, not that of God at all. And another interesting thing that we're going to cover here, when it says that your daughters pass through the fire, this is referring to their sacrifice to Moloch. Moloch was one of the Ammonite gods that was worshipped as a deity, and they would make a statue of him. He would have his arms outstretched. They would kill their little babies and light the fire there, and place their babies in there to almost like an incinerator, you see. And they were practiced human sacrifices. Well, we're going to say a few things about that because we have the same thing today, do we not? Absolutely, don't we have it in abortion? In order to sacrifice our children, and we sacrifice our children by aborting them and killing them, first-degree murder, to cover up our adulterous situation or our fornication, do we not? Yes, we do. Yes, because of our adultery and our sin against our own bodies and our lust of the flesh that we seemingly can't control, we're going to sacrifice our son or our daughter, and we're just going to kill them now because we are unholy. We are adulterers or adulteresses. Yes, so to cover up our sin, we'll go ahead and kill our children, and that's supposed to take care of it all, to cover up my act of adultery. What we need is morality, isn't it? But yet, you know what? We have a Supreme Court that practices that and endorses that. Do we not? Isn't it all right to kill your child? Well, Israel, right before they were judged, were offering their children as sacrifices. And I'd hate to be in a mother's shoes because of her ungodly, unholy act of adultery. Couldn't control herself like she should. Therefore, she has a baby and takes it and has it put to death. They open the womb. They go in. They suck the brains out of the child. And then they squeeze the skull so it will make a better delivery, an easier delivery for the mother. And then they suck it out. And this is how you are aborted. First-degree murder to cover up and sacrifice your child because of your adulterous situation. And we call it all right. Are we a twisted-up nation or are we not? What is it? Signs of the times. But now let's go on here and see what he says about these psychics, which are nothing more than demonic, controlled, satanic spirits. I'd like for you to go with me now while we're here. Go back. It was prohibited in Leviticus. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus here. And let's go to chapter 19 and look here in verse 31. Chapter 19 in verse 31 says this, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Now, it goes on here in chapter 20, in verse 6. "The soul that turneth after such have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them. I even have set my face against that soul, and I will cut them off from among the people." Now notice in verse 27, well, the penalty for these psychics and the penalty for these wizards and so forth, which are nothing more than psychics, it says here in verse 27, notice, "A man or a woman that hath a familiar spirit," that's a demonic spirit, "or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them." Yes, because God is against that. That's what God thinks about that. With that in mind, let's go over and get a couple of more now. Let's go here to Isaiah chapter 47. Let's go to Isaiah 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Turn your Bibles with me here, and here's what God says about it. Notice in verse 13, "And boy, Isaiah," he inspired Isaiah to come down on, he says, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels, and let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly procrastinators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come unto thee." Even we have heard that some of our presidents and their wives have contacted some of these psychics and so forth to try to tell them what decisions to make. What a disgrace, not only to themselves, to God, but to the nation that we live in. Instead of going to psychics, which are nothing more than demon-controlled and many demon-possessed, why not go to the Word of God? Amen. God gives the rules in order to save a nation and how a nation is to be prospered. He most assuredly does. Let's get down to punishing the criminal. Let's get down to not committing first-degree murder by killing our children because we commit adultery and we kill the fruit of that adultery to cover up our own sin. Our country has approved that. I hope we would get back to it, but I want to say this. Any man running for office that is going to come out against abortion is not going to get elected. I doubt it very, very much. Even though there are a lot of Christians that would like to see us go back to those principles, you'll find the majority are not Christians. The majority love to live in their sin, and the majority love to kill their children to cover up their own sin and their own shame and so forth. Just kill it. Get it out of the road. Let me have my fun. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, things are going to wax worse and worse and worse. And you know, to go along with this, I'd like to give you what the, concerning the psychics, and you have one that's a pretty famous man, Kenny King. He is one of your psychics, claims to be the best. These are nothing more than demon-controlled and demon-possessed men. Now, according to Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary of the English Language, reference psychics, here's what it says. Two definitions: spatially sensitive to influences or forces of a non-physical, apparently supernatural nature. Another description of psychic: a person who is spatially sensitive to psychic influence or forces, a medium. Isn't that interesting? It's very interesting, isn't it? No, you have more of that today going on. Call this psychic and call that, and, oh, she told me everything about myself. This was wonderful, and so forth. Well, you got to be stupid enough to pay this woman for that. Can they tell things about you? Yes. I believe the demons have been around and can put it into their minds to do that. It doesn't come with the Lord, but it can come by demons. Absolutely. Now let's go on to another side of the times, and this has to do with homosexuals. Let's go back here, if you will, with me to the New Testament here, and let's go here to Luke. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke here, chapter 17, where it speaks of the signs of the times and talks about here those in the days of Noah, and it also uses some years later in the days of Lot. Now, it's a very interesting thing here. If you go to Luke chapter 17, notice here in verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. Now, I'd put that down because God doesn't say they married wives in the days of Lot. These were homosexuals. These were your sodomites, your perverts. They didn't marry anybody. You know, they just had an affair with each other. And they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. In Genesis chapter 6, God says, for the imaginations of their minds were evil continually. But then we come to verse 28, and he uses this as a sign of the times before the coming of the Lord. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat. Well, they did that in Noah's day too, didn't they? And they drank. They did that in Noah's day, didn't they? And so forth. And they bought, and they sold, and they planted, and they built, and so forth. But in Lot's day, it doesn't say anything about they married. They were totally, as in Lot's day, concerning the area where he lived, they were totally sodomites. They were perverts. God went in and destroyed them. Now, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go back here. But you'll notice in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. God hates the sodomite. But I want to say this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you have a lot that are listed there of those effeminate means they were homosexuals. But you say, and when you read the Word of God there, such were some of you in Corinth. But now, when you take in, and just to show you the signs of the times, whenever you have, and I think we mentioned this here, the evangelical churches of America, your Lutheran evangelical churches, take in homosexuals that are practicing now. They do not denounce their homosexuality. They are not sorry for the homosexuality. And they say God made a mistake. And this church takes them in as members. Under that auspice, the fact of they still do not denounce their sin. They're practicing homosexuals. And I just wonder how many parents ever thought about when you send your child to a youth group. Is that child going to be molested? And how do you know that you don't have a homosexual that the church took into membership and went on a youth meeting some night at a camp out? Do you know that? No, absolutely you don't. And that homosexual isn't going to tell you either. I want to tell you that. But the church may know it, but you keep it hush-hush. In fact, many that I've talked to didn't even know their church took in practicing homosexuals. Well, the church never told them. They hid it from them. They didn't want them to know because they're afraid they'd leave the church. Well, why are you saying this? It's a sign of the times, folks. And the EL, the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America, is not the only church that takes in homosexuals. We'll bring you some more of those in our later broadcast here and bring those out. And I thank you for your letters thanking us for bringing out these things. You enjoy hearing about them. You enjoy, want to know what's going on. Because, and I just want to say this, I went to several places. I cannot get a doctrinal statement from the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America. I have went to many people. I went to their headquarters. They refuse to give one out. They don't even have one. Therefore, if you're a member of the church, you couldn't get one if you tried. Try to get it sometime. They'll give you a whole catechism book, but they won't give you what they speak about tongues. They won't give you what they're there. They got a little pamphlet out about water baptism, and that's all I've ever been able to get. And if you're a member of that, bring me one, if you will, or write me and send it to me, will you please? I'd like to get it. Whenever you're hiding something and you don't want, if you come and you move to Walnut Grove and you come to our church and you want to know what we believe, you come and you sit down and we're going to give you what we believe and give you a doctrinal statement that says, here's what we believe about this. This is what we believe. This is it. And no ifs, ands, or buts. Whenever you find a church hiding things, you got a false church, my friend. You got something to hide. The cults do the same thing, do they not? They never tell you what they believe until they get you sucked in. Absolutely. This is a sign of the times, folks. A sign of the times. Now, let me say this. There are some there that tell us, you know, well, I'm born that way. Well, if that's the case then you're accusing God of being a liar. God never created you that way. He created man and woman, and he didn't create a woman to have man's desires and man to have woman's desires. He created man and woman so the man would desire the woman and the woman desire the man. And these absolute perverts practicing homosexuals come out and say, you know, you created me this way, God. And we have churches dumb enough, absolutely dumb enough, to buy that and take them into their membership. I'll tell you what, I'd run from that church, any church. And there are several churches that take in practicing homosexuals, and God destroyed them, but the church will take them in. I'd like for you to notice something. What is it? A sign of the times. I'd like to take you here one more place. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, while we're here, I'm going to have to hurry along. Isaiah chapter 5 in verse 20. Notice what it says. Isaiah chapter 5 in verse 20. We'll look here. Wait a second here while you turn. Isaiah chapter 5 in verse 20 says this. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Man alive. Are we in that day and age? It's a sign of the times, folks. Absolutely, we're in that day and age. I'd like for you to know here in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Will you please go over there with me? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, a very interesting verse. It says, where there is no vision, that means, the word vision, no vision means there is no word from God. The people perish. The word perish means cast off restraints. Other words, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Other words, literally, it would read this. Without the word of God, the people go to pieces. We can't even have a baccalaureate. We can't have a commencement service. We cannot have a graduation service now because we're going to condemn these seniors because we're not going to mention God. We're not going to mention faith in Christ. We're not going to mention God's the creator because we got some of these atheists sitting in there, biology teachers and science teachers that have tried to brainwash these graduates now saying there is no God. Wherever you take God out, this is why you have all the problems that you have today. I'd like for you to go with me, and if I hope we can get this in. Well, go with me to 2 Kings chapter 22, because it would be wonderful to have a president, it would be wonderful to have pastors that are like this, and it would be wonderful to have governors like this, and leaders of our country like this. There was a man by the name of Josiah. Josiah was the son of Ammon and Jedidiah, and the grandson of Manasseh, who's a wicked king, and the son of Hezekiah. Josiah's reign on the Davidic throne, he reigned there for about 31 years. He was the last surge of political independence and religious revival before the disintegration of the southern kingdom, which ended with the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. Let's go over to chapter 22, and here was a man that God was well pleased with. Let me show you what he did. We'll have to hurriedly do this. Chapter 22, notice in verse 13, this man was a God-fearing man. And the first thing he did, you know what? Instead of taking the Bible out of the schools, we're going to flood the schools with Bibles. We're going to teach the kids about God. You know what Josiah did? Notice in chapter 22 in verse 13. Let me tell you what he did. Go you inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book, that is the Bible, that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, and do according unto all that which is written concerning us. And Josiah said, get that word of God back here before God pours judgment out upon us. Notice what he did in chapter 23 and verse 5. He got rid of all of the phony preachers and the idolatrous priests, and he took them out in verse 20 and killed them. But I'd like for you to notice in chapter 23, in verse 5, he says, and he put down the idolatrous priest, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal and to the sun and to the moon and to the planets, to all of the host of heaven. These counterfeit religious leaders probably were bought off. But Josiah said, no more, you phonies. You're out. And if you'll notice on over here and take your Bibles and look in verse 20, he killed them. In verse 20, he slew all the priests of the high places and so forth. Another thing he did, you'll notice here in chapter 23 and verse 7, he cleaned out all the sodomites. Well, we're in a signs of the times. We take them in, don't we? But he cleaned them out. Notice in verse 7, and he break down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. They lived right beside the church, didn't he? Where the women wove hangings for the grooves and so forth. The grooves means their idols and so forth there. But Josiah came in and said, hey, you perverts, no more. You're done. You're not corrupting our children. You're not corrupting our people, and so forth like that. He took them out, didn't he? And then in chapter 23, verse 10, they were offering their children as sacrifices. And you'll notice in verse 10, he said that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire of Moloch. And he cleaned them out. No more of that. It would be like saying there is no more adultery, or there is no more abortion. It's cleaned out once and for all. That's it. No more. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a country like that, a Supreme Court like that, a president like that, a governor like that, and your pastor like that, that wasn't some wimp that was afraid he's going to lose his congregation or his church or be kicked out of the organization because he, if he didn't continue to preach perverted things? But if he taught the Bible in his responsibility to God, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a pastor? And if you got one, you better take care of him and thank God for him, because they're surely not in a multitude today. And then in verse 24, I'd like for you to notice, he did away with the psychic and the demons. In verse 24 says this, "Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all of the abominations that were spied out in Judah did Josiah put away." And in verse 15, he got rid of all the cult religions, and I see our time has slipped away. Just a sign of the times you're living in. What is the answer to it? There is no answer except, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." But the answer for you to escape God's judgment is to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on that cross for you. He took your judgment when he gave himself on that cross so that you wouldn't have to die and spend eternity in hell and make that judgment payment for your own sin. Christ took your sin upon him. We hope you'll turn to him. We're just bringing these out to let you know how close it is to the coming of Jesus Christ. Never taken time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, "Even so come, Lord Jesus."